In today's rapidly changing world, we all have questions, and we all want answers. It's on this program that we get our answers from the Word of God. It's time for another episode of A Relevant Word with longtime pastor and best-selling author, Carl Gallup.
Welcome to A Relevant Word with Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in the Pensacola, Florida area. I'm Kevin King. And Carl, in the Bible, of course, the Bible is made up of several books. And lots of different people wrote the different books. And,
66 books and 40 authors.
And but this show, you're going to make it relevant how it really does all come together.
Yeah.
The very beginning and the very end comes together in the New Testament.
Right in the middle of the New Testament.
This is going to be interesting. Carl.
Yeah, not only that, but it's the first three chapters of Genesis. This is the way I often teach it or explain it. The first three chapters of Genesis and the last three chapters of Revelation are inextricably connected. And there's one verse that we'll get to near the end of this program in the New Testament, right about in the middle of the New Testament, that ties all six of those chapters together with one statement, one verse. Now, the relevancy is, you'll see as I unfold all this, what all's happening in those first three chapters of Genesis, what all's happening in the last three chapters of Revelation, and the relevancy is, what is the Word of God about, truly? What is this world about? Why is it going so crazy all over the world? What's happening? When did we lose our minds about what a marriage is, what a gender is, what a child is, what a woman is, what a man is? When did we lose our minds all over the world? When did all this happen? Why? Where's it going? Who are we in the midst of it? And what's happening? It all hinges on the first three chapters of Genesis, the last three chapters of Revelation, and that one verse right in the middle of the New Testament that ties it together.
All of our crazy questions can be answered in the Bible.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. And I think this one program today will answer a ton of them, at least biblically, contextually, / philosophically. And what I mean by that is you take the contextual Bible and the truths that are there, and then you can say, oh, okay, now that I know the tie, now I can see how to apply what's going on in the world through the Word of God. I can apply it through my life in the Word. So that's what I meant by philosophically, just, you know, the logistical way of tying it all together. So let me just jump into it. All right, let's just start with the first three chapters of Genesis. All right, Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay. Then, and I'm going to come back to that in a moment, and then the second chapter is kind of a, it backs up, and it's what's called a recapitulation. It kind of backs up and looks, and it looks even closer at the creation of Adam, then the creation of Eve, and then the finalization of God standing, you know, over the whole creation. He's already fellowshipping with Adam and Eve, and saying, God says, it is good. Everything is good. And then the third chapter opens with, now the serpent was the craftiest of all the creatures God made. All right, now I've already done, we've done programs on that before, brother, and so maybe you can go back and listen to those. I've also written a book called Gods of Ground Zero that goes deeply into these first three chapters, particularly chapter three. What was it that really happened in the Garden of Eden, and how does that tie to the whole Word of God and our lives? But now think about it. So the first chapter, the first verse, okay, the first verse, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. That's Hebrew. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, that sets the whole thing off. In other words, that's one of the most hated statements in the Bible by godless people, by Satan, by the demonic, by the hardcore evolutionist, you know. No, God didn't create. He didn't speak and say, let there be light and let there be the sun and the moon and let there be dry ground and let there be fish and let there be birds of the sky and let there be animals. And no, that's not. We evolved from an explosion that occurred. Okay, so that, I don't want to get all into that right now, but that first verse sets the world on edge. And then right after that, verses 2 and 3, and it talks about, "And the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, and the earth was formless and void." And then it goes on to say, "And then God said, let there be light." Now, I've done a program on this before. And the whole thing there is, let there be light? Why? Well, what do we know now? Just in the last 100, 150 years, we've learned about atomic structures and deep levels. We've learned about quantum mechanics. We're still learning about quantum physics. CERN in Italy and, I mean, in Switzerland and France, they're the largest man-made machine in the world. It's 33 stories under the ground, 11-mile circumference in structure. It's unbelievably massive, and it's all designed to study the atomic structure and the quantum particles of atomic structure. But in all of that, we've developed MRIs, we've developed lasers, we've developed computing, and now quantum computing and artificial intelligence, and on and on and on and on. But in the middle of all of that, here's one thing we've learned that is an indisputable scientific fact from the University of Chicago. I just looked it up the other day in their physics department. They say it emphatically. NASA says it on their homepage. The Encyclopedia Britannica talks about the four forces of atomic structure. And all of them say that the number one force, without this force, no atomic structure could ever. In fact, the University of Chicago said they would never, no atomic structure would ever, never be able to form or function without it. And what is it? It's called electromagnetic force. And all of those institutes I just quoted, they all say that is a synonym for light. So the first thing, how did people that lived thousands of years ago, writing scripture that's 3,000 years old, how could they have known that without the element of light, even the atomic structure, which would take them 3,000 years before we'd know about it, could form? And without atoms, we can't have structures. Without structure, we can't have molecules. Without molecules, we can't have matter. Without matter, we can't have life. And yet the Word of God says that. You see how controversial all this is? It's like science is catching up to the Bible. The Bible's not catching up to science. So you've got the first chapter, the second chapter, the third chapter. It talks about all of this. There is no such thing as evolution. Light is what holds it together. Then by the time you get to the New Testament, you hear Jesus saying, "I am the light." And then you hear Paul saying, "In him all things hold together." Well, that's right. He's the light, and all things hold together with light. Our science tells us that now. We know it for a fact. Electromagnetic force, along with the weak force of nuclear weak force and the strong force of nuclear energy and gravity itself, the four forces of holding a structure together. But it's electromagnetic energy that makes all the rest of it work. It's what holds it together. Well, so you take that, then you take chapter 3, and there's a big gap between the end of chapter 2 and the beginning of chapter 3. We don't know. People say it's at least 100 years. It may be 1,000 years, because God says, okay, everything's good. And then, boom, Satan enters in and messes it all up. But we don't know how long. We really don't have a clue of exactly how long that gap was. But, and this is not the gap theory, for those of you that know that, that goes all the way back to the first couple of verses. But I'm talking about between Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, there is this space of time. And so when you get there, then you discover that it was our ancient forefathers, the ones carrying the DNA that brought us about eventually down through the ages, generation after generation after generation after generation. Now Carl and Kevin are here. And it all began with God breathing into Adam's, nostrils and lungs and creating Eve and doing the same thing. It all began there. And so the scientists pull their hair and they scream, "You idiots, you crazy Bible-thumping idiots." Well, wait a minute. It happens to match up to science. What are you going to do with that? We now know the atomic structure can't hold together unless there's light. How did ancient humans who knew nothing about atomic structure know that you had to have light first? That element holds it all together. Okay, so you got those three chapters. They're pretty controversial. They seem to the unbelieving world to spit in the face of science until you start pulling it all apart. And now you look at what happened in the Garden of Eden, and then coming right behind it are the days of Noah, probably another 500 years, maybe 1,000 years, scholars debate. But what was there? Well, it says the sons of God came unto the daughters of men and had children by them, and there were giants in the land, and then violence. And God says, I pushed the reset button. So something horrible happened. Some kind of demonic encroachment happened. And so Jesus, by the time you get in the New Testament, he refers all the way back to Genesis. And he says the last days are going to be just like the days of Noah and just like the days of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. That's in Genesis as well. Look at the internet. Look at the 24/7 communication information. Look at the nations. The prevailing sins of the world revolve around sexuality and demonic encroachment and the redefinition of life itself and all of the institutions God ordained in Genesis, governments, marriage, home, family, on and on. All of that is being corrupted right before our eyes. It all goes back to Genesis. Go over into the book of Revelation and tie the last three chapters to all of that. But then I'm going to show you and drop you off right in the middle of the New Testament in the one verse that ties it all together. But when you consider that the first three chapters, now the deeper you go, the first 11, the first 12 chapters go even deeper, all the way to God's promise to Abraham about bringing Israel. Well, what came from Israel? Well, the Word of God did, the prophecies of God, the same Word of God I'm teaching and preaching now, the same Word of God that said, let there be light, was created first. I mean, so that came out of Israel. All of that's in the book of Genesis. So again, from Genesis to Revelation, the first three chapters and the last three chapters all tie together, and they all speak of what life is all about, where it's headed, who we are, and what we are to do in the midst of it. So I've just got it set up. I can't wait to this next segment to then unwrap the whole thing and to bring the punchline.
This is A Relevant Word with Pastor Carl Gallops, and we'll be back with the first and the last shortly. Thank you for being here. For more on Pastor Carl or to listen to his podcast anytime, visit carlgallops.com. For more on Pastor Carl or to listen to his podcast anytime, visit carlgallops.com. Welcome back to Irrelevant Words with Pastor Carl Gallops. And Carl, you've set us up,
yeah,
from the beginning. Now this show about the first and the last. Now you told us about light and the first part. Now you're going to tell us about the very end and that mystery verse you keep talking about near in the middle that brings it all together.
In the middle of the New Testament,
so,
right in the middle.
So make it relevant for us, Carl.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to, man. But see, that's my job, is to set you up.
That's the name of the show.
That's right. It's a relevant word. And you got to, first, I just like to lay the foundation, you know, the context and everything. And so, and you mentioned light. That's really interesting. Of course, that's just one of the first things in the book of Genesis. You just run the first two, three verses smack the unbelieving world right in the face. And now that we know what we know, there's an awful lot of science that backs up the first three verses of the Word of God. So anyway, moving along, we take those first three chapters of Genesis and everything they say about life and the world and the condition. Jesus refers right back to them and talking about the last days, and refers right back to Genesis, but he starts in the first three verses all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And so now we jump to the last three chapters of the Bible. And of course, that's the last three chapters of Revelation, chapter 20, 21, and 22. Now, let me tell you the theme of these chapters. Chapter 20 is basically the culmination of all things when Jesus himself and the angelic realm basically destroy the satanic demonic realm. And then the chapter 20 talks about the great white throne of judgment being set up. The Antichrist is judged. Satan is judged. His demonic angels are judged. All the ungodly of the ages who've been held in captivity in Gehenna is the Greek word, or Sheol in the Hebrew. Actually, Yeah, in the depths of the earth, the Hebrew language is. Hell, the Bible would say, those that are in prison. All of those are brought before the great white throne of judgment. The books are open. They're shown. Their names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because they would not surrender. They would not surrender their lives to the authority of the Creator, the light of the world, the one who created it all. Instead, Romans 1 says, they exchanged the glory of God for created things. They worshiped created things rather than the Creator, Romans chapter 1 says. So all of that was happening. So by the time we get to Revelation 20, here's the culmination of it all. Here's the great white throne of judgment. Those that refuse to give their life to the Lord, beginning with Satan himself and the Antichrist and all, says they're thrown into the lake of fire. And now that's a pretty descriptive thing, but what you discover as you read that out and study that out, it's talking about an interdimensional separation, because it says where they will be in torment forever and ever. So, you know, if you throw a person in a lake of fire, they're going to last, what, a split second? And then it's done. But no, torment day and night. So the word fire probably has more to do than some literal fire, but it has to do with the whole judgment of being forever separated from all that's good and holy, all that you chose to mock and laugh at and scorn and curse, separated. Jesus said, I hold the keys to death, and Hades is the word. And that means the other realms, the other dimensions. He said, I hold the keys to all of it. And so he's the creator of it. Paul says that in Colossians chapter 1, whether things seen or unseen, everything in the universe was created by him, for him, and in him all things hold together. Why? He's the light of the world. See, you see how it all ties together? So you come to chapter 20 of Revelation, and it goes all the way back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, the creation, then Genesis 3, the fall. And now chapter 20, that's the punishment for the fall, to Satan first. And then to this whole Antichrist system that deceives the nations in the last days. And then to all who heard the word and purposely ignored it, purposely trampled it underfoot. So chapter 20, that's a very controversial and hated chapter, because people don't want to talk about judgment. They want to talk about heaven and hell. They don't want to talk about accountability. They don't want to talk about giving their lives to Jesus. You know, and I'm making air quotes when I say that. They don't want to talk about that. That's for idiots like us and Bible thumpers. But the whole thing is, we're watching it all unfold right before our eyes. And so that's chapter 20. Well, chapter 21 and 22, the last two chapters, it's all about the recreation, the new heaven, the new earth. Everything is coming back together again. Everything is coming back like it was. The word new heaven and new earth, the recreation, that doesn't mean that the old is completely gone in that sense, and something that is totally, totally new is back. That word actually means, in the Greek and the Hebrew, a reconstruction of a refurbishment, a beautiful, brought back to its original state thing that's already been created, but now it's been refurbished and brand new. We have refurbished things in our world, in our fallen world, all the time. You buy a refurbished automobile or refurbished vacuum cleaner or refurbished whatever. But it means that, but it means even more glorious than that, because it's coming by the hand of God. Behold, I make all things new. That means I'm making it all refurbished again. I'm cleaning it up. I'm fixing it up. It's going to be like it was in the beginning. And so chapter 20, 21 described that as the new heaven, the new earth, the new city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband, and all of the descriptions that's there about we rule and reign with him forever and ever, the gates of the city, and the gates are open day and night. We come and go through them. It's interesting that they would use language that we now use in our world, gates and portals that are open to all the dimensions for those that love him and will rule and reign with him. Where? Throughout the universe. Throughout the earth, we will be a kingdom of priests and rulers. We will judge the angels, Paul says, and that means the fallen ones. I mean, think about it, brother. It's glorious. It's amazing. And in chapter 21, John says, and I saw all of this. And he says, and I saw the throne and him who sat upon it. And then I heard a voice from the throne saying, behold, I now make all things new. There is no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, no more death, because everything has been made new. And he says, John, write these things down. They are trustworthy and true. Outside the gates, are those who are liars and murderers and thieves, those who have scorned my word. But inside the gates, outside the gates, that would be like a fire. That would be in another realm. That would be in another dimension. That means a portal is opened with the keys that Jesus has, and that's what happens. They're separated from all of that forever and ever and forever. And their torment is to realize what they've given up. That's why Jesus said, so what does it profit a person if they gain the whole earth and then lose their soul forever? That is, never have a chance to come back. It's done. This is the test. See, when we're at the great white throne of judgment, that's not a trial. That's the judgment day. The trial is this life. This is boot camp. This is the trial. Are we going to choose our Creator or not? We have free will. We're not animals. We're not puppets. We're not robots. We have the ability to choose. So do the angelic realm. We've been created in the image of God. The angelic realm created in the image of God. What does that mean? It means like God, we can communicate. We can speak. We can create. Now, we can't create by just saying, let there be. But a man and a woman can get together in marriage and make other humans. I mean, God gives us the ability. We know how to manipulate things like seeds, put it in the ground and create. We know how to build things like skyscrapers and highways and cities. Monkeys don't know. They're the smartest thing next to us, and they still swing in trees and eat bananas. After thousands of years, we've gone to the moon. We've gone into deep space with deep space probes. We've made internet and highways and cities and, you know, good or bad. We've nuclear war, nuclear submarines. I mean, it just on and on, jet airplanes. I mean, monkeys, we're like gods to them. We're like gods to them. They don't even come close to us, and yet they're the next smartest thing on earth to humanity. Well, why is that? Because we in the angelic realm, we get to choose. Some of the angelic realm chose to rebel against God. Satan be leading the way. The Bible tells us about that way back in Genesis 3 and then 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It tells us by the time we get to the last three chapters of Revelation, as opposed to the last three chapters of Genesis and the six of them tie together right in the middle. I'm going to take you there. But now we find the great white throne of judgment where it's all starting to be made new. Then chapter 21 and 22, where it is all made new. And what's gone? Death, crying, mourning, pain. Mourning, M-O-U-R-I-N-G. Of course, you know that. Mourning, crying, just heartache. It's gone. The book of Isaiah says the same thing, and it says, and our minds will be made new. That is, you know, he just renews everything. We'll still be who we are. People get freaked out when I mention that about the minds being made new. And I say, look, think of it like this. If you've had children or grandchildren, you know this. When they're baby, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, their little personalities are developing, and you see in them traits, you say, you know, they're going to be like, when they're 40, they're going to be just like that. That's their personality. Boom, that's right. And they really are who they are, and they know that they're here, and they know how to live and how to react and what to say. They know what they want. They know how to get what they want. But watch this. By the time you talk to somebody who's 35, 40, 50 years old, do you remember when you were 3 years old? Well, no, I really don't. How about when you were 2? No. How about when you were 1? Nah. How about when you were 5? Well, I've got a few memories, 1 or 2. Okay, and what you do when you look at all those memories, some of them you have a few memories, but most of them are things people told you, and now you assume you remember them. But it's people described them to you since the time you were a kid till you're now. Now you think you remember them when you really don't. But the bottom line is you were you. So when God makes our minds new, when he's making everything else new, we will still be us. We will know who we are. It's just everything is made new. The sin is gone. The pain is gone. The mourning's gone. The crying's gone. Any kind of relationships that drug us down, horrible things that were done to us that would otherwise scar our psyche and everything, it's gone. But yet we are left and we are alive and we are real and we know who we are. Jesus told the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. And he got a taste of it. And that's what Revelation 21 and 22 tell us after the great white throne of judgment. So you take those six chapters, you tie them together, and then here comes the book of Ephesians, right in the middle of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says, behold, we have been told the mystery of God. He has made it known to us, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Jesus Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment at the end of all things. to bring all things in heaven and all things on earth back together under the head, Jesus Christ. The first three chapters talk about how it was created and how it was lost. The last three chapters talk about how it's brought back together. And Ephesians 1, 9, and 10 says, that's what life is all about. Jesus Christ has won. He's bringing it back together.
The beginning and the end coming together in the middle in Ephesians.
God's
fascinating.
God's will is being done, and that's what life is all about. Will we choose Him and serve Him and please Him and love Him and rule and reign with Him forever or not? The choice is yours. How relevant is that?
This is Irrelevant Word with Pastor Carl Gallops. Thank you for listening.
May the Lord bless you and keep you always.
Now more than ever, we need to listen to God. He still speaks through His Word, the Bible. Each week, Pastor Gallops shares what the Word of God is saying, even now. A Relevant Word with longtime pastor and best-selling author Carl Gallops. To access Pastor Carl and to listen to his podcast anytime, visit carlgallops.com. Thanks for listening.